The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
And welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. I'm a family medicine specialist and consultant. And thank you for joining us on Guardian Radio for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. We have another interesting show for you. We hope that you'll enjoy tonight. Of course, you know, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We just want to just make sure online if you are hearing me clearly, but brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We are a family medicine clinic located in the Bahamas Heart Center on Collins Avenue, and you can reach us 326-1521 or our WhatsApp line 429-4880 for all your healthcare needs. Of course, we also do home care as well as IV vitamins, microneedling, and a whole host of different things. You can check us out on Facebook, Medical Concierge Services, Instagram, Medical_Concierge_Services. And of course, our website, medicalmcs@familymedicine.com. So tonight, you know, we've been talking a lot about COVID and different things for the past few weeks. So We're gonna open up the lines tonight so people can talk, but we're gonna talk a little bit about what's going on with the economy and the cost of living and how that affects, because really our finances affect everything, including health and wellness and everything. It's all related, you know, and one of the biggest problems that I see is a lot of stress in our practice with different people, and stress leads to inflammation, stress leads to really bad health outcomes. And so finances play a very large role in everything. So we're gonna talk a little bit about this idea of inflation and the cost of living and things going up. And what does that mean? What can we do? What are we gonna expect? Because I feel a lot of Bahamians don't really focus on the future and on how they deal with their finances. And we live in this really stressful environment as Bahamians where we're always kind of reacting to situations. Sometimes we're not prepared. Even those of us who may make you know, a good amount of money, you know, I think it's just culturally we're very relaxed when it comes to our finances and the economy. And so we're going to talk a bit about that today, really kind of get into what is inflation, why is everything costing so much, and then later on we're just going to develop into, you know, what could we do, and what does the outcome in the future look like? Because at this point in time, if you're only looking at what's happening here, you don't have a big picture. This is really a global situation that's happening. We're really close to the United States, and a lot of the things that they're doing is affecting us. And so you might wonder, well, Doc, why do you care about the US and American politics and all this stuff? It's all really closely related, and we tend not to react until these things are right in front of our faces and affecting our gas prices. So gas prices are extremely high right now. I saw one of the stations is over $7. That means we're probably, as we go through the summer, we're gonna be approaching $8 or something like that. That's quite a bit of money. And gas prices are related to the cost of just about everything else. Whenever you see gas going up, electricity, those types of things, you can tell that there's gonna be increased costs across the board. if you go into the food store with only $100, you're not going to come out with very much either, because we're seeing this idea of inflation everywhere. And so this is really, really something important. We really need to pay attention to what's happening. And I think it starts with the fundamental of just kind of understanding what inflation is, and then how do we go from there, and an understanding of how this affects us in our everyday life, and then eventually, what can we do? So I found really, really good articles that kind of touched on this, and some information that I thought would be useful to just kind of bring us all up to speed on this particular topic. I saw a quote from a gentleman named Sam Ewing. He says, inflation is when you pay $15 for the $10 haircut you used to get for $5 when you had hair. So, you know, it's the cost of things going up. It's really an economic term, and it describes the general increases of prices and how our purchasing power basically goes down. So what you could get for $10 today, you may only be able to get, half of that in a point of time. And that's what we really call inflation. So it's normal for there to be some forms of inflation. We always expect prices to go up just a little bit here, a little bit there as time goes by, because, you know, demand for certain items would go up, the cost of certain things would go up. And sometimes we even have things where the cost goes down. But a lot of times we have these little small incremental time periods where things would go up. And that's healthy for the economy. That basically means that the economy is growing. However, it becomes a problem when the prices are going up too quickly. And that what that means is your money, your actual money, is losing value. Because if your $100 does not have the buying power that it did last week, if you can't get the amount of gas that you got last week, then the money itself, in a sense, is devalued. So you're working for the set rate of money, but yet that money value is changing so rapidly that you can't keep up with the economy. And usually what will happen is the central banks and regulatory bodies would basically try to keep that in line so that it's not really intense. And for those of you who have been keeping up, you'll know that in the United States, inflation, or this increase of money, of the value of money, is what they call an index of 8.6%. Here they're calling it 6.75%, I believe. But that is just kind of like an average. When you start looking at the actual pricing or the increase of goods that are things that you buy every day, you'll see that it may be a lot more than that. You know, when you look at bread, milk, gas, those percentages are very, very are much higher than what we're calling the average. So even though you see an average like 8.6 or 6.3%, that doesn't mean that things are only going up by that amount. Things are actually going up by quite a bit more. So a rise in price. So we looked at in 1950, you could buy a cup of coffee for 22 cents. Today, and this is out of America, the average cup of coffee costs about $2.38. So you can see over time, quite a bit of inflation. And when you look at failing purchasing power, a basket of goods, which may have cost $100 in 1950, cost $1,100 today. That's really failure power. And that's why your grandparents were able to make $50 a month, and, you know, or your great grandparents make $50 a month, but they could buy a house, right? So inflation is the rise in costs in goods and services. And the inflation rate is the percent or decrease in those prices over a period of time. And so if you were to look at all various items, you'll see how that's changed over time and what that really means. So in 1930, $100 is basically worth $2,697.52. That's a lot. That's a lot of inflation over time. So we've been seeing this for a while, but we've had a much sharper indication of it recently. So what causes this inflation? It seems to be everywhere, especially now. A quote from Milton Friedman said, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon resulting from and accompanied by a rise in the quantity of money relative to the output. In simpler terms, inflation occurs when there's an increase in production costs or when there is a demand for products and services that's faster than the supply. So if you have more demand and less supply, you can have an increase in cost, or if there is a cost in the increase of production. So if it costs me $5 to make a product after buying all the stuff and paying everybody, I can sell it to you for $10 and make a really nice profit. But if I'm now paying $8 for my supplies, then I have to charge more money to keep up with the cost of the raw materials and what it even costs to make in terms of paying people. And we'll get into that later because, you know, there's an outcry usually when there's inflation for people to have an increase in their salaries or an increase in the base pay or the what they call the minimum wage and stuff like that. That is all a part of where the cost of things come from. And so it's kind of like hard place to be because people need more money to deal with the inflation, but it's almost a chicken and the egg. And there's a point that I go through later on that kind of describes how that feeds into the system. And you end up actually spending more. And the money that you make, even though you get an increase, may actually work out to be less. That's it. So in simpler terms, inflation occurs when there's an increase in production cost or when their demand is more than supply. Inflation can come about in different ways, and all these causes are most commonly classified into three main types of inflation. And so there's different ways of inflation becoming a reality, and we're going to look quickly at some of those, all right? And the three main ones is called the cost push inflation, the demand pull inflation, and then of course the built-in inflation. So with the cost and push inflation, prices increase when the cost of production increases. And we've seen that. And one thing very interesting about what we're seeing in terms of inflation right now is we've had this pandemic, and this pandemic has caused a lot of issues because we closed down for almost 2 years. And that changed the dynamics of a lot of our supply chains. In other words, the way that we got things. We've had countries where they've had mandates, they've had countries where people have closed down, we've had countries that have been on lockdown. And so that all has played a part in this idea of what's causing today's inflation. So this cost push inflation, it just costs more to make products. And the companies pass that on. And that usually happens in natural disasters when there's a scarcity of a resource, when there's low unemployment rates, and when there's an increase in mandatory wages, as we discussed. Also, when there's government regulation that causes that, increased regulations often means that the expenses for businesses goes up. So more regulation, more expensive business. And we would have seen under a president like Donald Trump, one of the first things that he did was he slashed a lot of regulation. He has slashed a lot of regulation for business because he's a business guy. And so he basically knew that if you cut down the regulations, you cut down the red tape, it'd make cheaper for businesses to function and it would be less cost to pass on to consumers. Right? A scarcity of resources. It's not really that resources are really scarce, but because there are less people maybe working in particular areas, or it's harder to reach certain things because of supply chains. It's almost like a fabricated scarcity of resources. And a lot of that has to do with supply chain issues. Low unemployment rates, I guess, especially in the US. And even here, we've seen that we had really high unemployment, and then there was like a boom when everything opened. And so now you have a floodgate of people now who have money that they may not have had before. Increases of mandatory wages. So in parts of the US, wages have gone up. There's a call for it here in the Bahamas. But usually when businesses are required to increase their wages for their workers, they raise their prices. That's what they do. The money has to come from somewhere and they increase their prices. This across the board increases the cost of living. We talked about government regulation. And of course, if you have any increases in business taxes, then you will also have that cost. So not so much on the regulatory and the taxing side, although it feels like taxations on business in this country is tremendous. And I'm not just talking about the little licensing fee. Anytime you start making more than a certain amount, you start really feeling what the government taxes are like. And so that really can affect people and how they put the cost of their business together. And so the second one is the demand pull inflation. And the prices then are due to the demand of products. And these products have to be made faster and faster and faster. We've seen, an increase with the baby products in the United States, like baby formula. That has really kind of outpaced, the demand has outpaced the supply. And so baby formula has basically really hard to get, and the cost of that has really gone up. And so you're seeing a supply demand issue there. And that usually happens when the economy is growing and you can expect inflation in these periods of time. So that's really a sign of what's going on rather than a product. And so it just shows that because the demand is so high for that and the supply can't keep up, people are spending $40, $50 on baby food. And that trickles down to the cost of living overall. The other one is the built-in inflation, which is the raise, the price spiral. This is kind of like the cycle that I told you about, where workers want higher wages to keep up with the cost of living. And when the prices rise due to the cost push or demand pull of inflation, people expect higher wages. And they want to keep up their lifestyle. They want to continue living the way that they do. And they want a higher standard of living. So higher wages make companies increase and the price of their services. And this raises the cost of living across the board. And these workers demand higher wages even more. So it's a cycle. People want higher wages. The cost of production rises. And companies increase their prices and the cost of living increases. And this goes over and over and over again. And this adds overall to the cost of living and everything that's going on. So an increase in the money supply and inflation. Most people will correlate government printing money with inflation. We saw recently in the US that, you know, trillions of dollars were being printed and pumped into the economy. And this was supposed to help to boost the economy. But what that does is there's so much money flooding an economy that was lacking that people are spending and spending and spending money that they didn't think that they were going to have. This leads to a cost push or a demand pull inflation. And the money supply creates inflation only when the money is printed faster than the economy is growing. So what that is that's policy. So we actually saw where the Americans created some of this problem. And the issue is some of that trickles down to us because we do import a lot of things, not always from America, but we can see how their policy also impacts us. And they're having very high inflation, one of the highest across the globe. And so a lot of that has to do with their policy. They printed a lot of money instead of kind of letting the economy catch up in a more organic manner. They kind of forced this supply and demand, and now we're seeing what that's leading to. I don't think it has a little bit to do with gas, but not so much. The gas issue, I feel, has a lot more to do with just kind of supply and demand and the fact that some resources are limited because of the way that we're sourcing things. And then, you know, some people are greedy, and, you know, things are going to go up. But there's the same amount of oil in the world that there was a year ago, probably, or 2 years ago. So really, what's really causing the cost of things to go up the way that it does? And this whole idea of it being involved with Russia only really got involved in this within the past few months, seriously. And so if you're sending me comments on Messenger or Facebook, I may not see them, because I am live at the moment. So just kind of wrapping that up, this whole idea of monetary and fiscal policy playing a really large role. And here in the Bahamas, I think our government has been trying to do some things to try to counter it in terms of inflation. But really, I would think that they would need to pull back on taxation in quite a few areas. And I don't think they're willing to do that. We saw a few things in terms of bread basket items and different things like that. But we are, you know, kind of, in my thoughts, heavily taxed, but in different ways. A lot of fees and taxes here and there. These things tend to add up. And then we have VAT that's kind of across the board everywhere. And although we went down a little bit on VAT, you would see the lower income people are going to be people who are more consumers, who are buying things every day. And so putting VAT on maybe breadbasket items and some of the things that they would have to buy every day, I don't think there would be much of a improvement. I think I did the cost analysis for this when they first did this. And for some people, it's going to be a win. And for some people, it's not. So in terms of the monetary policy and the fiscal policy, central banks lowering interest rates, and you might have heard that the Americans increased their interest rate recently. When the central raises their interest rates, it's cheaper for the bank to lend you money. So when the recently, just before and during the pandemic, the rates are actually been kind of low because there was limited chances to lend out money. So the banks were more easily lending out money. Even though their rules are really crazy, their interest rates weren't that bad. So it would have been better if you needed to borrow money to borrow it during that time. And then they lend more money to businesses and individuals who spend. More money being spent increases demand, increases prices. So we've had that as well. In terms of the fiscal property policy, if the government cuts taxes, makes stimulus payments, or increases benefits, people have more money to spend. And if business taxes are cut, business can increase wages and hire more people. People have more money and the demand increases. So it's almost a chicken and the egg type of thing. You want the government to cut taxes. You want people to get higher salaries, but it does increase the cost of living. But those organic ways of increasing the cost of living would happen a lot more slowly. What we're seeing is a very, very steep build increase, and that's where their problem comes in. There's also elements of exchange rates. Although our money is pegged to the dollar, we can see that the exchange rate, there's a little bit of a difference if you were to convert your money. So what the American dollar is doing is extremely important to Bahamians, because that's usually where we cross over a lot of our cash. You know, it's stored in American, our central bank stores a lot of American money, and that's how we keep our money afloat, because our money by itself is not worth a lot. And so by the American dollar not being worth really the amount that it was last week, also means that the Bahamian dollar isn't worth as much as it was the week before. So who really benefits and who gets hurt by inflation? Now, who are the winners? So inflation does not act everyone the same. And that's why you see some people do really, really well when things are supposed to be really bad. And then some people do really, really bad during this time as well. Some people get hurt by the fall in the value of the currency, while others benefit from it. Debtors, especially if the debt carry fixed rates, they pay their loans back in less valuable currency. So like I said, if you had taken out a loan during this time period, like the pandemic, when the rates were really, really low, the interest rates are going to probably go back up. So if you had taken out a loan then, the money is worth kind of less tonight. And so, you know, you're going to be paying less per se over time than you would when interest is low. Okay, I have a comment here. It says, good night, Dr. D. Do men receive paternity leave in the Bahamas? Some do. My husband got paternity leave with probably both of my children. So yes, it depends on the company. And so, yes, men can get paternity leave. So check your company's policy, because you might just be missing out. I told my husband to ask about it. It was there and they gave it to him. So, yes, Mr. Gibson, men do receive paternity leave. It's usually either asked for by your union or it's in your company's policy. So it's always good to review your company's policy when you are thinking about these kind of things, because you know, a lot of these things are here and you just don't know. People who own land or physical assets, these assets tend to hold their value through inflationary periods. So if you own land or you have physical assets, things that you can touch, these are going to be, asking for a friend, no problem. No problem. But if your friend's having a baby, I'll let him talk to his HR department and they probably do have something for him. So landowners, people who own physical assets. So it's really good to invest in land if you do have that kind of money, if you don't, you want to save and put down towards it, because that's one of the few things that does increase in value over time. Who breaks even? Workers whose salaries are indexed to inflation. So if your contract where you have an increase over time that's based on inflation, you know, you're not going to feel it as badly. You're going to probably stay about the same. Who doesn't do well during these time periods of inflation when the rising cost of things are going up? If you are just saving your money in the bank and going off of simple interest, and we all know the banks haven't really been doing much for any of us lately. So if that was your thing, your money sits there and it decreases in value. So if you need, it's probably a good time to invest. It's extremely stable, buy some land or do what you can with that money. Retirees or people on fixed incomes. So if you have a fixed pension or interest income from an investment, these tend not to grow with inflation. So if you're a retired person, this can be a difficult time for you. These are the people that don't do well during increases in cost. Luckily, I think our government is really good with pensioners because they're always getting these little increases as inflation goes up. So I don't think we have the type of pension that's in a lot of other countries. Ours is very kind of reactive to the economic environment. And so workers on a fixed wage contract. So if you make $10 and that's all you're going to make, unless you get a raise, you know, inflation is going to affect your pocket. Borrowers with variable rate loans. So if your loan rate changes with things, then that might be problematic. And lenders of fixed rate loans. So actually the banks in these places, they lose. I guess we're taking a break. Is that what we're doing, producer? So we'll be right back on The Dr. Zen with me, Dr. D. Archer.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip. We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. Short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361. 302-2361. 2361 or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Good night and welcome back to the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Dinothra Arta Cartwright, founding medicine specialist, but we're talking finance and the economy tonight. An interest of mine because I think it's important to kind of know what's going on. And I'm a planner, I'm a saver. So when it comes to these types of things, I like to really have a hand on what's happening in the country. There's a crazy raise in prices. We're all feeling it. We're all seeing it. And it's kind of a global thing, but it's kind of impacting us really, really strong. Our inflation's been kind of over 6%. And in the US, it's as high as 8.6%. And that's just the average. In various places, it's doubling, tripling. And this is something that we really need to keep abreast of and kind of understand what's happening so we can plan. So this concept of rising costs is basically linked to the concept of inflation. Increasing costs over time. And we talked about how this can be a good thing if it's just a little bit at a time, because usually with that, you mean that the economy is doing really, really well. But anytime that it is speeding up faster than we can handle, it becomes a problem. And so we're going to look at how inflation is measured, kind of like what things that we should be looking at. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what should we be doing in order to combat a lot of this. And so there's two, there's a concept called consumer price index. You see it a lot more in the US, not as much here because we don't do as much statistics, but it basically examines the average prices of a hypothetical basket item of goods and services in order to see if there's been changes on the cost of living over time. Different items in the basket carry different weights, and these weights reflect the importance of the item and the consumer shopping basket. Having a roof over your head carries more weight than having a gym membership, and the increase or decrease of a price of an item when expressed as a percentage represents the inflation rate. And that's how we really get it. They look at all these different things that we're purchasing and putting money into, whether it be rent, services, goods, whatever, and they give them a percentage of how important they are and how much the cost changes. And then that together gives us our inflation rates. So we use a lot of American statistics because we don't have usually all of that here in the Bahamas. But I can say, looking at the data online and the information I saw, they're placing the average income in this country based off of everyone who's making money here, whether you're Bahamian or not. And so the numbers that I was seeing online was about 46,000. When I looked back at a document that was created by the government in 2003 and 2005, we see that that's closer to about $23,000 when we are just talking Bahamians. Okay, they're telling me that I have a call. Caller, you're on the line? Caller? I'm sorry if we lost you, caller. Please call back. I don't know, there might be a communication thing. I wasn't able to see that we had a call. But caller, you can come back to us if you can. We did not hang up on you. We just lost contact with you. Okay, so so $46,000 is what's out there on the internet. $23,000 was like 2003, 2005, recorded as the average Bahamian salary. And so you can see that's quite a large difference between what's being reported between 2003 and today. I think it's probably closer to $20 or so. And so you have to realize that that number includes the super, super rich, as well as minimum wage and less and or whatever like that combined, and just gives you an average of what those numbers are. But you can see that if you're looking and you're saying that our that people are making between $36,000 to $46,000 due to our GDP or based on an average salary, and if cost of living is adjusted for that, then the people who are making a lot less are going to have a very difficult time with inflation. So when we talked about those bread basket items, you know, and producer, if that caller comes back, just put the caller on in case you can't reach me. Every country has their own kind of methodology of doing that and saying what is in that bread basket. When we look at the food and beverages, and it looks at the food you consume at home and outside and at non-alcoholic and alcoholic beverages, they lump that all together. They look at housing cost, what it costs to own a house and rent a house, the utilities and the housing and furnishing and what it takes to maintain that home. Because we don't forget that just owning a home, you still have to maintain it. There's cost involved in that. Clothing, shoes, jewelry all come under apparel. Transportation, that means buying a vehicle, whether it's new or used. Fuel, parts, maintenance, parking, registration, all of that public transport. You had the president of the United States telling people that, just buy an electric car and that's going to solve you from having to pay for gas. But first of all, someone has to afford that electric car. And that cost keeps going up and up and up. We have another comment online. Personally, this person says our government isn't capitalizing on the after COVID effect. People are wanting to travel right now. And if a recession happens like it's predicted, that will be cut short because most of our tourist dollars come from the United States. Absolutely correct. We should be really emphasizing and pushing our product right now before there is a recession, because any signs of a recession, one of the things that people start cutting back on is things like vacations. You don't need to have a vacation. You want to have a vacation. And so they cut back on some restrictions, but they did it in a very discriminatory way because the non-vaccinated persons are consistently left out of all of these things. I don't know why. But we have an opportunity to really kind of push our product. And I think a lot of people are coming here even without like the government being totally involved. Because if you look at the out islands, there's a lot going on there. And it's crazy and insane when you realize who's really here in the country. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, good night, Dr. Z.
Good night. How are you?
It's good to take a break from the COVID subterfuge, right?
Yeah, you have to sometimes, you know. It's crazy right now.
But, you know, I just wanted to chime in just to let you know you're listening, but
yeah.
It's all a Ponzi scheme. We all trying to achieve a dream. And so I listen to you talk about the banks, and I was wondering why, you know, for some reason, these people are so powerful, like, they're allowed to get away with so much. We saw the extinction of the interest rates, right, on your bank accounts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was wondering, are they allowed to get away with that? And then we see where, I heard you talking about inflation, and the text that I sent, the last text, I thought it was brilliant. So I listened to, I might have been Chester Cooper. I'm not too sure if it was the Minister of Health, but they was giving the parameters coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And what hurts me is they're still pushing this senseless paradigm.
Yeah.
And if you're talking
about I don't know why. It doesn't even make any logic.
It doesn't make sense. So I'm wondering if I have a brain or if I'm existing, because it's like it's a no-brainer that it's garbage that they're pushing out. You know, the paradigm is senseless. It's a senseless paradigm. It's obvious. Because you're saying vaccinated versus unvaccinated. You know, the data are showing, I mean, it's hard, you know, politics has even had, I've even infiltrated the International Health Regulation Pandemic Treaty the other day with certain countries, mm-hmm. China, affiliated with China, et cetera, et cetera. And so we see where the scientists and the political structure has kidnapped humanity. This is what I'm saying, because I'm looking at, you know, if you're trying to get tourists to come here, why are you distinguishing, I already said something about the unvaccinated are still required to, what about the unvaccinated people who don't want to get vaccinated, people who are already being infected naturally?
Well, right here in our own country, we discriminate against the unvaccinated persons. I mean, I keep on saying, what's better, getting COVID from a vaccinated person or an unvaccinated person? It's the same COVID.
But I was trying to find if I could, if when they'll get rid of me, right? If I form citizens against the new moral world order. Right? And I start to go, of course I'd be a fool to use YouTube, right? You understand what I'm saying? Because it's there too. And most people don't understand, Dr. D, to me, we are already in a prison planet. And so the fact that we're about to embrace the metaverse, that most of us don't even know how it can be used against us in this day and time, right? There's so many aspects of it being misused in order to drive their agendas, right? And so, you know, I listen to these different constructs, and, you know, the news is so powerful to the average person that 19% or 20% of the American people don't believe it's God. And so I notice as people push this godless paradigm, if I was to come on the radio every day, which I believe in the Creator, but if I was to come on the radio every day and say there's no God and give a narrative, after a while, people will start to believe that. So this is what they know. This is what the behaviorists know. You all call them psychiatrists. But I see the financial system, the way how the world is built, it's built on lies, and I see it as a Ponzi scheme. All right. To me, interest rates, they don't exist until the bank charges you for it. And so this is how they get new money to come into the system. And we know how the reserve currency is set up, but, you know, maybe when God was talking, he was saying, you can't buy or sell. I guess he already envisioned that the prices would go up so high you can't buy it, or it wouldn't be in supply. It would be short.
Well, you know, the Bible speaks against having this, you know, high interest rate type things, you know. So a lot of, if you look at it from a biblical perspective, the Bible speaks about, you know, exploitation and money.
Yeah, I want to get this joke in, because, you know, I always have the sense of humor before I lose my sanity. There's something that the prophecy in the Bible are being fulfilled, but we're denying it. And so I'm noticing the censorship paradigm with the fact checkers, you know, yeah. Some of the things that were misinformation last year are facts this year, right? So I'm vexed with Google and all the likes of the censorship. They're censoring books now. So, yeah, fact checker, check that. The truth don't need a fact checker. If you're speaking the truth, you really need a fact checker. And then who's checking the fact checkers? That we have seen that they are pushing a one-way narrative. We're seeing doctors change their paradigm from a 50-50 lobbying origin, 60-40 lobbying origin, to no, is a highly unlikely possibility. That was their narrative after their meeting. So apparently their minds were funneled on the lobbying hypothesis. Nobody's pushing for the origins of the virus. 75% of the children already had COVID-19. But all of that data, the CDC didn't thought it was prudent to do a counter study to see out of the 75% who were reinfected from natural immunity. These are the type of things I'm looking for in a sensible paradigm. You get what I'm saying, Dr. D?
No, definitely. You know, I always call for research. And I think, you know, even if the world fails us, if we as a country actually cared enough to look into these things, you know, they could be done. We fund so much garbage. Here we are, that this is the most important thing happening, and we don't put any money behind it to even look into what's happening with our own people. Caller.
Yeah, but you mightn't believe it. But something you said last week that I realized, I used that as a booster, because you said it was hard to get data, and I've known that for a while now. They haven't decided to do the data or nothing during the scamdemic, plandemic, nothing.
The thing is, even when they have the data, if you go and you request the data, see, we don't have these freedom of information types of things the way that they have in the United States, where, you know, if someone gives you a hard time, you go to the court and you file a thing and they got to give it to you. Here we've got some information somewhere and someone there, and we'll contact you next year. I use the example of when I called and I asked about a statement that the last prime minister said about immunization of children. And I called everyone, and everyone says, we don't know where he got that from. And if we do have that information, we're not releasing it until next year.
Yeah, but we know of the paradigm of the person enters the hospital with diabetes or some other comorbidities, and he tests positive for COVID-19. We know that it is classified as a COVID-19 and maybe so subsequently a COVID death. So my act was implemented. Then I would have been able to choose some non-government or some kind of, I don't know how I was being able to do it, but I want to see all of the case studies on the PCR test to show real positivity, because I honestly believe that they're manipulating the PCR test because it can be manipulated. And we know that.
At this point, we're taking an antigen test as positive, so. You know,
but the antigen test has a less efficacy early infections. It is ineffective, but after 5 days, it's basically very effective. So if you catch the infection and you get tested the next day, the efficacy rate is very low with the rapid antigen, and you know that, Dr. D.
So anyhow, well, here we are. I think it's because really this thing is over. I think, you know, we're all suffering from the flu because everybody's kind of sick right now. It's all flu and COVID again.
Hey, Dr. D, it ain't never started for me, though. So the people was given, they had a poll out saying, Dr. Minister is the reason for the loss, right? For the person like me, who actually know some science, right? Everything they were telling to me was a slap in the face all along, you know, because the question is for the average person. You're noticing the increase in the narrative, trust the science. So it's like you don't trust in God no more, but you trust in man. So, but to the average person on the plantation, how could you trust the science if you don't know the science? You see, that's what's
well, I think that's what they were counting on.
Yeah, but how could you trust the science if you don't know the science? That's blind trust. How could I trust it? Dr. D, the paradigm is they've just discovered innovations and new information, the way protein is transported in the cells to the endoplasmic reticulum. This is new information. I think maybe this discovered maybe a year or 2 years ago they discovered. So how would they, with all of these paradigms, are still shifting? You know so much about protein transport. I just read on Google a couple of years ago during the pandemic that they just discovered a new paradigm to put it the way it does. It actually stays a little longer. It proliferates. And it's just a different molecular events that they hadn't really known until they did this fluorescent dye spectroscopy. You see what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. The structure of science is always changing, but you're not enlightening the public, but you want me to follow the science blindly when you, not you in particular, but as a scientist, you can be bribed. As we saw Dr. Collins, Dr. Daszak, all these people who were regulating these entities that they were, who was overseeing these entities that they were supposed to be regulating. Give thanks, doctor. I'm out of my mind. Have a good night.
Right, thank you. You always bring up some points and you always get back to COVID, it seems. But yes, I mean, and I've made this point numerous times, true scientists don't just focus on one particular thing. We're always open to learning. We're always on this journey of wanting to know more. We're constantly analyzing and studying. So anyone who says just trust the science, when you open your mouth and you say that, either you're being disingenuous, or you don't understand what you're talking about. Because the whole idea of science is to not trust anything, but to actually prove it and to study it and to analyze it and to figure it out. And once you've done that, you try to do it better, you try to find out more. So that's why it seems like science is constantly changing. It's not really, it's always that we're finding out more information, building on top of what we have, making new discoveries or adding to it. There have been many times when science has gotten things completely wrong in terms of, because science is still being controlled by men, and men are not perfect beings. And there's elements of bias, which we try to remove as much as possible. But as you can see in the last few years, that things can easily be manipulated. And if you're not on top of this, and I try to tell my colleagues, studies for yourself. If you're not looking at preprint information, if you're not looking at the science in real time when it comes to COVID, then you're probably 6 to 8 months behind and you're not really going to be useful to anyone. I don't mean to take that kind of arrogant point of view. I'm not trying to do that. It's just logically, if you're not keeping up on stuff and you're just being fed information, then you're not going to make the best choices. I think that we as a community need to really look at what we're doing and really try to get ourselves back on track, because we are a needed group to be logical and understanding of everything that's happening. And so 52, you always get me a little off track back into the COVID matrix. But you know, I just want everybody to try to be safe. You know, there's a lot of there's some COVID going around as well, but to be safe and to take really good care of yourself, and it's a really good time to make sure get back into your vitamins or whatever you're doing, because there's other stuff out there other than COVID as well. And so just to kind of wrap up our topic, we were talking about how they put all these groups of things together and they kind of test them, and that's how we look at it. and the different types of inflation would be your walking or creeping. You know, your creeping inflation, which is just a little bit out of time. And then what we're seeing is about 3 to 10%, but I think it's way more than that. And when it really gets scary is when we have this hyperinflation, like we see in places like Venezuela and stuff, where you see inflation reaches over 50% and the value of your money just goes down the drain. And hopefully we won't get there, but you want to save some money if you can. You want to invest if you can into something that's going to give you a return. You want to like that. You want to probably pay off those loans that are going to be high interest rates, because you don't know what the future holds. Like the caller says, if we do go into recession, are you going to have that job that you were worried about? So it's a really strained time, and we have to really kind of look at what's going on. And you might want to tighten your belt and take a look at your budget and start putting things into different categories so you can see where you're spending your money. That's really the most basic way of looking at your finances, all right? Just simply taking what you have, where you spend that money, and finding ways to save some of that and put it up for a rainy day so that you're not caught into all of this madness. Another comment online, maybe if the big hotels ask the Bahamian government to drop the testing for vaccinated and unvaccinated people, they will. Yes, that seems to be the only way to get restrictions removed, is if the hotel industry, if you have foreign telling them to do X, Y, and Z, then all of a sudden, you know, the science changes. And so hopefully they will see the need to have their unvaccinated customers also, you know, remove the restrictions from them. And then I think what we're going to see is, all of a sudden, you know, the science has changed again, because we all know that anyone can catch COVID, vaccinated, unvaccinated. It is a viral illness. You know, it's from respiratory stuff. And it's very difficult for a lot of these tests to even determine between the flu and COVID. So if anyone can spread it, the science that they're talking about does not exist. And so hopefully they will stop trying to prove a point and they will just, you know, make things equal. If we're all tested, we're all tested. If we're not all tested, then we're not all tested. But you need to have a standard of care. That is the way to do that. Economically, socially, and everything else. Stop trying to reward people for doing something that you ask them to do. Everyone is quite aware now whether there's a benefit or a risk for them personally, and people can make these choices on their own. The time for forcing people is over and done, and we need to move on from that situation. It's just madness. I think Jesse Cooper said it best, that in Europe, most of these restrictions are gone because they've gone through their madness and they realized it didn't make any sense. And they've kind of let a lot of that stuff go. And it's time for us to move on as well. Jamaica has already removed their restrictions. And so they realized that their economy was going to basically crash if they didn't do something. And so their science, I guess, changed as well. And so everybody's country seems to be working on a different science. I think it's political science. And so going on that creates the policy is really what's happening. But we have to seriously watch what's going on with inflation. It's just happening very rapidly. And it's gonna either lead to some very difficult times for some people. And you need to start preparing, you need to start looking at your finances, you need to start deciding how you're going to do that. Maybe this will bring Bahamians together and they will start pooling their resources more often and, you know, carpooling for gas or doing certain things like that, because I think we've separated ourselves quite a bit as a community. We're all selfishly doing our own thing. And so I try to find a silver lining, even though I don't want all this to happen. But look at your family, look and see what you can do, look and see where you can kind of cut back and where you can save on gas and certain things, your standard of living. So cutting back for a few years is much better than kind of losing it all. Another comment online, there's absolutely no restrictions in Florida and it's been like that for a while. Yes, I went to Florida at the end of last year and they already had very, very few restrictions. There were a few places. I think some of the stores in downtown Disney required you to wear a mask. But, you know, Disney is woke and liberal. So it's kind of, you know, expected there. But basically everywhere else you could eat in, you could do whatever. And, you know, they found that Florida did actually pretty well when it came to COVID, despite all the things that were being said about Ron DeSantis and him not, you know, kind of following the narrative on COVID. And I think 60% or more, but they still realized that you couldn't force people or push people to do things. And they kind of gave people a really good quality of life during the pandemic. And that's why you saw a lot of people move from places like New York and California and other places and actually went to live in Florida, because it just made sense. If you were looking for a good quality of life, to move to a place that had less restrictions. And they didn't do any worse than most of the other states that were locked down for quite some time. So it shows you when you start comparing what different areas did. America's a great case study because they have states right next to each other that did totally different things, and you were able to see the outcomes. Same thing with Israel and different parts of Europe. So we have that all in front of us. We don't need to live through it all. We have examples before us. And this inflation in the United States, which is right next door to us, is something that we definitely down here. And behemoths need to be prepared. So there's not just pandemic stuff happening. There's an economic and financial storm that's kind of brewing. And we need to be prepared because we haven't seen a recession since 2008, 2009, when things crashed in the United States. And it was quite difficult here in the Bahamas during that time as well. A lot of our people are invested in tourism, and tourism is a volatile industry in terms of when it comes to pandemics and natural disasters and those things. So everyone get prepared. Just wanted to talk to you guys about that tonight, because wealth and health, they go together, and you can't take care of yourself if you can't afford to. So think about that, talk to your family, create a plan for yourselves, so that we can all get through this positively. And so just like that, the show is done. I want to thank you, everyone who was able to listen tonight. And I'll see you again next week, brought to you by medical concierge Dr. Janotra Archer. Good night.